the time.
All the time.
He is filled with compassion. His mercy is everlasting. God is good. God is good all the time. Oh, God is good.
God is good
all the time.
All the time.
Oh, God is good.
God is good
all the time.
All the time.
Oh, He is filled with compassion. His mercy is everlasting. God is good. God is good all the time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We'll sing this again, but the kids, we're going to dismiss them to Sunday school. Praise the Lord. How many enjoys missions? Awesome. Missionaries. There's one. You know, that's all God needs is one. I know you guys weren't ready for the question. How many enjoys missions?
Yes.
Amen. I love missionaries. I love seeing them. I love meeting them. I love hearing their stories. Amen. Seeing what God is doing all over the world. We have had such interesting and been blessed with such interesting people that come. Amen. The last missionary I saw here, he was from Spain. He was here with us a couple weeks ago. I saw him on a live stream, Pastor, in New Haven at Brother Brito's church. Amen. He's a Spanish-speaking pastor in our district. Amen. And I'm sure it was more comfortable for this missionary to speak in Spanish and preach in Spanish, amen, than it was here in English to us. Amen. And that's the type of diversity and things that we like to see where you meet people from all different walks of life and all different backgrounds, amen, and we all unite under that same message, the full gospel truth of Acts 2:38 and who Jesus is, amen. But what we're doing here with the kids is it's having a global impact, amen. Unless you want to volunteer to go to Spain, which that would be all right. Amen. Nope, no takers. All right, then give. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, God is good.
God is good. All the time.
God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
He is filled with compassion. His mercy is everlasting. God is good all the time. Sing, oh give, oh give, oh give thanks to the Lord. His mercy endures forever. Oh give thanks unto the Lord. Oh His mercy endures forever. Oh give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. His mercy endures forever. Oh, God is good all the time. Hallelujah.
God's good.
Yes, He is.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me. Genesis chapter 2 is where I'd like to turn your attention. Beginning to read there at verse number 4. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. I'm going to come back to that. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Amen. And man became. Amen is my topic today. And man became. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the greatness, Lord, of your glory, God. What you have already established, Lord, and done, Lord, and that we can become. Lord, I pray your will, Lord, in this service, Lord. God, that you'd give me anointing in my mind and put words in my mouth and quicken, Lord, the thoughts, Lord, in my head that I might convey, Lord, of your spirit, of your will, of your purpose, Lord, for this service. Open up, God, I pray, our understanding. And Lord, help us to become what you want us to be. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Creation is an awesome thing. In fact, it takes a... The Bible records how creation came forth. How just he did it. And that he formed man with his own hands. God looked down in this awesome creation that he had created. He created everything that was created, and all that is here is from God. And it was a wonderful place. In fact, the earth, his creation, was finished. But it was not all that it could be. God's part was done, but there was no man to till the ground. The earth was done, but man wasn't here yet. So God remedied the situation by giving the earth a man. And a man, he gave the earth. God created Adam. But Adam, after God formed him with his own hands, he was just a shell until God breathed life into him. God breathed, and man became a living soul. Something more than that he was before. That God's greatest gift to us is the power to become. Amen. We can become something in Jesus Christ. Amen. Doesn't matter who you are, what you were, where you came from. In Jesus Christ, we can become something for God. Praise the Lord. Some would say that the greatest law... Well, different people would say different things. What is the greatest law? Well, it's not the theory of relativity. No, it's not the theories contained in thermodynamics. It's not even the law of gravity. You know, the law of gravity is something that you perhaps rarely even think of. But how great is it? The law of gravity is not the greatest law. But the mysteries, it has a mysterious thing, the gravity that starts down in the core, in the center of the earth, and it reaches up through those layers from the center of the earth. Yes, it holds our feet to the ground. And yes, it puts things in place, and it reaches up past our atmosphere, and it holds on to the moon. The gravity from Earth is holding on to the moon that it might be in its place and come around the Earth. And gravity is the thing that slings us around, and the celestial body and the Earth slings us around in this big egg-shaped circle that we might come closer and have summer and go further away and have winter. And the Earth spins so that we have night and evening and morning. And it's an awesome thing, isn't it? How did God put all that together? You know, man hadn't figured that part out yet. But God put it there. Gravity, at the will of God, keeps us in this place. It's an awesome thing. And yet, gravity is not the greatest law. Think of the law that is the power of man to become something more than what you are right now. Praise the Lord. Another thought. You may recognize this reading. In order to establish justice, to ensure domestic tranquility, to provide for the common defense, to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, we do hereby establish and ordain the Constitution of the United States of America. I believe that that document, the Constitution of the United States, perhaps is the greatest doctrine that any government on earth has ever conformed to. I believe that that document was directed by God. They had help in writing that thing. Amen. It was into that document that man has the power to become, to secure the blessings of liberty, and to ourselves and our posterity, that my life can mean something more, that I can become. You see, the slave was denied the right to become. It was not the hard work that broke many. It was the dead-end street that they lived on that which caused the despair. The power to become had been taken away from some. The point is, what we become is a matter of our thinking and our mindset. I got to have God. I got to put God in my head that I might think on Him. Praise the Lord. When my head is centered on me, everything gets messed up. You are headed for trouble when you become so self-centered that you forget about God. Amen. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." We got to be careful where we put our heart. what we dwell and think upon. You see the story of a wealthy man. He was raised in the South. Every day his mother told him, "We are not living like this because of others. It's not someone else's fault. Your daddy and his daddy before him were lazy and they didn't take advantage of the opportunities that were provided. But you won't be like this." You see, she broke the powerful hold of poverty in herself and in her children. You can become something. God gave the power to become to men. And even a portion of angels messed that up. Eden could have had a huge wall to hem them in that paradise of a place. But even in the Garden of Eden, the first man and the first woman, they had the power given to them by God to become. You see, God is determined to give us the ability to become. Jesus died on the cross at Calvary so that we could stand before him clean and forgiven. And you see, when we repent of our sins and we are baptized in Jesus' name, when we are filled with that wonderful presence of God, the Holy Ghost, we have become something that we were not before. Amen. What are you? You know, we don't live forever. In this life, what are you looking for? What are you portraying? It has been calculated that man has about 6,500 prime working days. What are you working on? What are you giving yourself unto? What are you choosing to do with your life? In Luke chapter 14, let me begin to read there, verse 16. Then said he unto him, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse." Let me pause right there for a minute. Man, mankind has had the excuse problem a long time, hasn't they? They were making Let me continue reading. They were making excuses. "The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go needs to see it." Who would buy property without ever seeing it? This guy did. I didn't have the internet. "I pray thee have me excused. I got to go see the property I bought, sight unseen. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Sure, blame it on the wife. Man hadn't changed much. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bad or bidden shall taste of my supper. You see, they all had other important things to do. But Jesus said the nobleman became angry. I made a great supper. I wonder what it was. It was something really good. He had prepared enough for all the whole, for the facilities to be full. You know, if it was 100 people or if it was 1,000 people that could fit in that place, he wanted it to be full. And he wanted everybody to partake of that great supper. There was no admission charge. There was no money to be paid. Everything was already paid for. The only thing he was looking for them to bring was hunger. Just come and eat of my supper. Go to the poor, the halt, the blind, the lame, that they have a right to become. Come to the dinner. If you're too busy with your plans to enjoy my meal, I'm going to feed somebody else. Too many want to have Christianity as a side dish. Oh, come if I have time. Oh, if I don't have anything else that, you know, if serving God is so far down on your list, that other things are more important than serving God, you need to rearrange your priorities for one. Amen. God needs to be real. In fact, God needs to be at the top of your priorities. When you put God first, it's going to make everything in your life better. Amen. The Lord was looking for people to have a desire to come, to become more in God. We all have other things that we could be doing. Everybody has something that needs to be done. If you analyze the reasons that these people gave in this story in the Bible, you know, the land, the oxen, marriage, comes down to job and family. People are still having to deal with your job and your family. It's the same now as it was then. This generation is living with the same things that that generation had to live with. We had to juggle the job, our family, and our relationship with God. There comes a point when excuses just have to be put aside. Stop making excuses. We just need to admit, you know, we have snacked on other things. We have perhaps other things as a priority, as misplaced as that may be. Or perhaps I'm really not all that hungry. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. We got to be so very careful that we have to juggle my job. I have to juggle my relationship or my family. I have to juggle my service and my work and my commitment to God. You see, a Christian commitment, when we choose to serve the Lord, it looks strange to the world. Many in the world just would not understand my commitment to serving God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. We don't walk to please the world. We have to live our life to please Jesus Christ. God told Abraham something very special. He said, I will be Jehovah Jireh, the God that supplies. From this day on, you will never have a need that he won't meet. God will meet your need. There'll never be a crisis except that God will walk with you and take you through that crisis. God is telling him, I promise I will bless you. In Genesis 22, verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Those are great promises. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. The stars of heaven. Amen. They're still trying to figure out how many they are. They don't even build a bigger telescope, look even further, and beyond what they can see. I mean, as far as they can see, there's just more. They can't find the end. It's like, you'll never find the end of God. If you live for him the rest, if you live to be 100, or I read, there's a little article, this man in New Jersey, 109 years old, still driving his car to the grocery store. Whoa. I'll tell you what, God can sustain you. Amen. God is able to keep you. But as the stars of heaven, that's like spiritually, you'll never find the end of God. Amen. And the sands that are by the seashore in this life, God will meet every need. Amen. That's like natural, spiritual, and natural needs are all met. Gates of the city, it's victory over our enemies. I thank God for his mercy and his grace. We are saved by him, by Jesus Christ. But some things are beyond salvation. There's more than just having the experience of being saved. I believe a man or a woman can learn to make decisions that please God. That you can live your life in such a manner that it will assure that God blesses you. Praise the Lord. God doesn't bless organizations. It's not because we're United Pentecostal. No, that's not the reason. And it's not because we have apostolic lighthouse on our sign out front. That's not the reason. You see, he blesses anointed and appointed people who serve him. If you will serve God, he will bless you. Praise the Lord. We believe that we can choose to think and to act in such a way that will guarantee the blessings of God upon our life. Genesis 22, verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things. Those things were nonstop trials. That God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Let me pause right there for a moment. I'm going to continue reading. But we know that God does not tempt us with evil. He does not. You see, God gives us opportunity for good. He will bring opportunities to be blessed. He works in our life through the things that we significantly care about. Let me show you this. Genesis 22, verse number 2, continuing to read. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham, if you pass this test, you will never be the same. Amen. Verse number 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then, on the third day, anybody take 3 days to walk to church today? Anybody start on Thursday to get here? I'll tell you what, it's a lot of effort. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. There it is. That's where we're going. We're going up there. We're going to worship. The place of a supernatural blessing, it is not always easy to arrive at. It's not easily attained. He had to get through. He had to trudge his way to get to that place. Is there anybody here willing to fight the battle that you can serve the Lord? It doesn't have to be easy, but God will help us in it. Amen. Amen. You might have to fight a battle to get here. But when you get here, God will bless you. Amen. When you get to the place where God wants you to be, He will bless you. Amen. This place of supernatural blessing is worth it. Amen. Verse number 5. And Abraham said to his young men, I think this is awesome right here. Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad, me and my son, Isaac and myself, will go yonder and worship. Wow. And worship and come again to you. We're going to go up there, we're going to worship, and we're coming back. Notice what he said. Here is the principle that produced the blessing. What God called sacrifice, Abraham called worship. Wow. He defined an altar and a knife and a son as worship. as saints of God, the things that make the difference is not what you do. We all do the same things. You got to somehow have finances. You got a family. You got needs. You got things. We all have to juggle that stuff. But how you do it. You know, I can live my life in a way that God blesses me on my job. And God blesses me in my family. And God blesses me in my service to Him. It's how we do it. We are going to have to get to the place where sacrifice is worship unto us. Amen. The Bible doesn't just say that God loves a giver. It says that He loves a cheerful giver. Amen. How you do it matters. You will not truly find what you are looking for until you seek Him with your whole heart. Living for God a little bit is really hard. Very difficult. In fact, I don't know anybody that has ever been successful in living for God a little bit. You got to do it all the way. You got to decide your whole life is in this thing. Praise the Lord. It's not just prayer that works. It's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And then it makes a difference. Praise the Lord. Ask Joel if prayer works. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ask anybody. He's just the latest guy that's proclaiming, God's been good to me. God has been good to me. Praise the Lord. Every one of us can proclaim that. God's been good to me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says it's hard. Some people say that it is a hard life to live for God. No, it's not. It's hard to live for the devil. It's hard to live in the flesh. Carnality is hard. Living for the Lord is a blessing. Praise the Lord. And it is a focused life. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yeah, but there is a yoke. We got to be focused on Him. Christianity is not the absence of a yoke, but it is a controlled life. You see, God controls what I think about and what I do, and God helps me and where I go. It's a matter of choice. You have to choose. You have the power to become. Let me move on just a little bit here. Listen to God's desire. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning at verse number 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thy shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. I tell you, God wants to bless you. Verse number 20, chapter 28, verse 15 of Deuteronomy. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe all, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Jumping down, verse 32 and 33. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away. Verse 41, thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. But why? Verse 47, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. It is not a curse from God. It's just that moaning and groaning and feel like church is a burden. It will cause the blessing of God to be lifted off of your life. It's not a curse. It's a blessing to serve God. We need to teach our children to worship with sacrifice. Praise the Lord. The psalmist said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, we need a revival of a joyful sacrifice. A revival of serving with gladness. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 27. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. God said, worship in the beauty of holiness. It's not bondage. No, it's beautiful. You see, the Old Testament tabernacle was a type of a shadow of the New Testament church. On the outside, it was covered with badger skins. And the outer court may have smelled like those, the sacrifices that were being made. You ever smelt burning flesh? It had to not smell good. The outer court, there were sacrifices there. Everything you saw from the outside, it looked ugly, and it, from the worldly view, it didn't look very good. You know, why would you want to be a part of something so different? But oh, when you would come inside, you let them be there when the light and the incense, the praise and the worship inside the tabernacle, it was beautiful. It was overlaid and intricate, and the golden candlesticks and the furniture and the tabernacle, they were beautiful, overlaid with gold. It was fabulous. The presence of God dwelt in the Holy of Holies. The power of God dwelt there. You know, I'm weary of people telling me that this place is so powerful. Oh, I could feel God's presence. And then they don't show up in the next service. You know, they found something else that was, I don't know why. Most of the time, I never find out why. You know what? There's nothing more important than God.
Amen.
Amen. Musicians, would you come? Not everyone is willing to call sacrifice worship. To inspire confidence, inject enthusiasm, and to lead men into a cause, we have to lift their minds to a higher cause. God breathed and man became. Stand with me. In Genesis chapter 2, in our opening verse of scripture, God breathed into the nostrils of Adam and he became a living soul. That breath was poni. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 2, in verse number 2, the day of Pentecost, there was a rushing, mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. It was poni. It was the breath of God that moved upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's something very special when God moves upon us. It is able to change us, that we would become different than what we were before. Amen. I was a different person before coming to Jesus Christ, but now God sustains me. God keeps me. God helps me to be like him. You need God's help to be successful in living for God. I'll tell you what, you can have God's help right now. My title was Man Became. You can become something right now in Jesus Christ. I invite you, would you lift your hands with me? Would you lift your voice? And as the musicians play and as we sing, would you magnify God? Would you let God even right now move in your life? Would you be sensitive to the leading of the Lord and let God make you, help you to become something in him? Lord, I love you, Jesus. I praise you. I worship you, Lord. I thank you, God. I magnify your name, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I worship you. I praise your name, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. I praise you. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' precious name, Lord, I thank you, God. Hallelujah. Let's worship him for a moment.
Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh, is your role on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, you have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. Oh, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed till you're on the altar is laid. Oh, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and so.
Hold on one second. If I wasn't up here on the platform singing, I'd be in the altar. And that's because even though I'm a leader in the church, I know that I need to die daily. Just like Paul said, die daily.
Amen.
Amen. It's a life, like Pastor said, worship. We need to normalize sacrifice as worship. Amen. Is your life sacrificed fully and completely to God? And I would guess that there's something that you're holding back from God. Amen. You know, I was addressing this in the Bible study last week, and I want to say it here in our Bible class on Monday, because somebody mentioned something about the difference between Cain's sacrifice and Abel's sacrifice. And I just said, you know, we talk about sacrifice, and we talk about this person's sacrifice versus that person's sacrifice, but really, we all need to sacrifice. And it has been said, and listen to this, it's been said many times, and I partially agree. But it's been said many times, to love the sinner and hate the sin. You've all heard it. Love the sinner, hate the sin, right? I'm not a fan of that saying. I'll be the first to say that I'm not a fan of that saying. And the reason I say that is because it somehow makes a difference. Brother Ben, that's not appropriate right now. Please go back to your seat. The reason I say that I'm not a fan of love the sinner, hate the sin, is because that somehow points out that some of us are sinners and others are not. Pastor, is that biblical? That some of us are sinners and others are not? No, it's absolutely not biblical. Romans chapter 3 says, "For all have sinned." So instead of looking around and being like, who's going to go first? And watching the people at the altar, amen. All of us need to realize that we are all sinners. We all need salvation. And it only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we all need to come and lay down our lives and sacrifice it all to Him. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I come short of the glory of God. Anybody else come short of the glory of God? You ought to be raising your hand right now. That's right. We all need God's glory. We all are sinners. We all are lost without Jesus. Amen. We all need to come to an altar of sacrifice. We all need to come and kneel before our Maker and say, God, have mercy on my soul. Amen. And not a single one of us should be sitting back and thinking, I want to go to lunch. I can't wait to get out of here. Until we come and lay down something on this altar. Amen. Matter of fact, let me just change protocol real quick. I'm going to get off this platform. My wife's going to come off the platform. My musicians and singers are going to come off the platform. And we're all going to go to the altar. Amen. And if you want to join us, amen, in worshiping and giving your life as a sacrifice to the Lord, come on and do it with us. Hallelujah.
I magnify your name, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. I praise you. God will help you to become. But you got to serve Him. You got to give yourself to Him. You got to recognize Him. You got to seek after Him. You got to magnify Him. You got to worship Him. Lord, I praise You. I thank You. I adore You, Lord. I magnify Your name, Lord Jesus. I praise You. Thank You for all that You've done, God, all that You're doing, God. I praise Your name. I worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, I worship You, I praise You, I worship You, I adore You, Lord. I thank You, God, I magnify Your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, wonderful God, I worship You. I praise You, I worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. God is able to make us to become what He wants us to be. Amen. You know, the Lord taught us how to pray. Hallowed be Thy name. Holy is Your name. You know, we enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We praise His name when we begin to pray. And then God does something very special in us when we seek His face, when we bring ourselves before Him like You've just done. God is able to make us to become something that we have not been yet. Amen. And then, in closing, you know the proper way to close a prayer? Worship Him. We got to worship Him again. Worship when you start. You can ask Him for anything in the middle. But when you're done asking Him to help you, when you're done asking Him to make you, to become whatever God wants you to be, then it's time to believe Him. It's time to believe God for what He's doing. It's time that we would accept what God would have us to become. And then worship Him. A sacrifice of praise. In the last 1 minute of this service, would you join me? Would you lift your hands and would you magnify God? Would you praise Him? Would you give Him worship? He's worthy. I worship You. You're worthy, God. I praise Your name. I love You, Jesus. Oh, I thank You, God, for helping us to become sons and daughters of God, that we can become like You. Jesus, I worship You. I praise You. Lord, I adore You. I magnify You, Jesus. Lord, You're the Most High, Holy One. Jesus, I praise You. I worship You. I thank You, God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I praise You. I thank You. I worship You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen, amen. Don't let the worship stop here. Bring it home with you. Amen. Let God continue to make you to become what He wants you to be. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. God bless you.